From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome into our program today. I'm glad that you're listening in. And as most of you know, this is our weekend edition, and we always interview people. Sometimes they've written books, sometimes it's a marvelous testimony, sometimes it's a ministry they have. But today is going to be different. First of all, I'm telling you right up front that this is the regular schedule program that we have for this Saturday that we plan. But this one is also going to be aired again on November the 2nd, because we're talking about the election in America. It's a very important time for all of us. On our programs, as you know, Monday through Friday, we have teaching of the Bible, and we're committed to the Word of God. On Saturday, as I've already told you, is what we do. But I feel like today was just going to be a special time that we address some very important things as Americans and as Christian Americans. I'm delighted to have on as my guest today, and I can't think of a better person to discuss this topic with me than this individual, attorney Pastor Homer McMillan. He's been on before. And Mac, we're delighted that you're on, and I don't want us to go into all the niceties that we normally do. Let's get right to the subject, because we got a lot to talk about today. Tell us a little bit about why Christians should plan on voting and how they go about figuring out who to vote for in these major elections that are coming up.
Well, the principle of voting is not found in the scriptures, but there is a principle that should be applied in every Christian's life, where we have opportunity to participate in government. The scriptures of Romans 13 are very clear that we are subject to the higher powers, and God in His providence has placed a constitution over the United States that allows us the privilege of voting. And as Christians, we have a need to do that. Psalm 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That word foundations deals with civil law, civil order. And we need to be engaged in the political process. Now, as to which way to vote on particular issues or personalities, of course, that's up to the individual. But certainly Bible reading, prayer, listening to pastors. A pastor's not going to tell you who to vote for if he's staying within the bounds of 501c3 land. But at the same time, there are principles that can be pointed out.
Think with us a few moments here, too. I know that you have concern with this, as I do, but as we go into an election, and we're not speaking here specifically about individuals, but it seems to me like there's just an awful lot of difficulty getting to the truth. And you know, even with fact-checking, the people that are fact-checking sometimes don't fact-check both sides. You know what I'm saying? So are there some basic things that you think about, and I'm going off scripture a little bit and dialoguing with you more right now, but is there some specific things that we should be looking for when we think about who to elect into our positions of authority in this country?
Yes, sir, there are. George W. Bush quoted John Paul II in reference to America, and he said that we have adopted a culture of death. The scripture says, wherefore choose life. And in these political decisions, we literally have in our hand the difference between life and death in many cases. In Florida, Amendment 4 is on the ballot, and it is very broad-based. It would allow abortions up until the moment of birth, probably. It's vague. It removes parental notification responsibilities. And so there's so much in the political realm that has to do with life. And that is the driving force behind my voting decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I think everybody understands what we're saying there. I hope many of our listeners grasp that, you know, the whole idea of the murder of the helpless unborn is a real challenge in the world today. It's a real challenge here in America today. If you're listening into Life Change Weekend, we're so glad to have on Homer McMillan with us, attorney and pastor, a good friend of mine for many years. And we're talking about an election, and we're talking about voting and what's happening in the in these next few weeks. In this program, I'm already telling you, is going to be aired twice. And the next time you hear it aired will be on the 2nd of November. And some of you will hear it on the 2nd of November, just a few days before the election. Let me just share this with you before we go on. The Great Commission passages in the Bible describe the importance of taking the gospel to the known world. No one individual can do this, and no one church, mission agency, or denominational headquarter can accomplish this feat. Yet all of those who claim that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior have a responsibility to spread together the good news. Here at our ministry, we have been supporting pastors and people in Myanmar with foods and food to this needy area. And very shortly now, we'll be sending another check over there. If you would like to give to this very worthy cause, they are in a coup over there. Some of the pastors get very little funding, and we try to help them do all that we can for them. Simply contact us. You can go to our webpage at dinobedroneministries.org or .com. That's D-I-N-O-P-E-D-R-O-N-E, dinobedroneministry.org or .com. And simply go to our donate and donate something there. These pastors that are there, many of them have very little. We support fully 10 pastors there. When I say fully, what money comes in, all the money that comes in goes directly to them. And also we try to help over there with some food. So if you'd like to help with us with that, that would be a tremendous blessing to them especially, and to us as well. Now, Mac, tell me this. How much should the church get involved in politics? Jesus talked about political things a little bit. Paul spoke about them. What's the view of the Christian? What's the view of the of church history on this type of thing?
Well, the church for centuries was oppressed and had no involvement in the social contract as far as influence in government goes, for the most part. And now we have the privilege of being engaged in the electoral process. And the fact is that there are, as we mentioned earlier, guiding principles. One of them is life. The other is so prominent in our election process today, and that is who is going to support Israel. We have a responsibility as Christians to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And ultimately, God is going to bring peace in the person of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, as Christians, we need to do what we can to support the Jewish people and Israel. These are timeless truths from the Word of God. Israel is, those who bless Israel are promised a blessing from God. And the United States has been a supporter of Israel since its founding in 1949. The fact is that we are greatly blessed in America because of our support for Israel, and because, as you mentioned, Dr. Padron, we are still a launching pad for the gospel. And would to God that that continues. You know, history shows us that there can come a time when Bible-believing people and Bible-believing churches who have experienced revival in their lives and in their nation could come to the place where they don't even recognize God for the most part in their secular society. I point to the United Kingdom. One of the greatest preachers of any age, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, pastored a mighty church in London, did a great work for God. But to say you search hard for a church that preaches the truth in England, in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a real challenge. It really is. So I guess one of the things we need to remember is our heritage, our soul, our mind, our thoughts are from Scripture, getting the Word of God into our lives. And there's many stories in the Scripture about the Nebuchadnezzars and Belshazzars and the many others that they're very, very much involved with what God would do with the nation. God, you know, the old thought, Mac, that, you know, history is God's history. It's His story. It's really true, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, we're seeing Bible prophecy lived out in front of our very eyes today. And that should not be something that frightens us. Some of our younger listeners, God bless your hearts. The Scripture says, comfort one another with these words in reference to the second coming. And so that is a comforting thing to know that Jesus will come again and set things right. But of course, we have to look to the authority of the Scriptures until we see Him face to face. And those Scriptures can be applied to political life. Now, the church has a responsibility first to propagate the gospel. And that should be the focus of what we do. Political activism is not the focus of my ministry. The cross of Christ is the focus of my ministry. But where the text speaks to issues, cultural issues, then we as ministers of God and people of God must address them.
Yeah, that's well said. When we think about the position of the church today, I thoroughly 100% agree. Our job is to get the gospel out. By the way, tell our listeners briefly, Mac, what is the gospel? So some may not understand that. What is the gospel?
Oh, sure. Yes, it's a wonderful story. I was told in May of 1982 about Jesus coming to this earth, living a perfect life, dying an undeserving death, being buried in the belly of the earth 3 days in the belly of creation. The Creator was buried, and then He was raised from the dead and seen of others so they could tell us. So it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, and that's our hope. Since May 13th, 1982, sometime between 11:30 and midnight, when I bowed my head and said, thank you for dying for me on the cross, I have never been frightened of an eternity without God. I've never been intimidated about not having the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. And the gospel changed my life. And if there's someone listening that has never received Christ in a life-changing way, Jesus will change your life if you'll receive Him today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a glorious message to hear that over and over again, the gospel. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. We're glad to have attorney and pastor Homer McMillan on with us today. I want to thank those of you that send letters and emails to us. Here's a number of notes that we just received. This is from the country of Myanmar, which is what I was talking about earlier. One of the pastors said, thank you there for your help with our work in Myanmar. We appreciate hearing from him and the good work. He had just baptized, I think, 9 people there in that church just recently. And this one comes to us. It says, thank you for your prayers and support for Haiti. The rebels are ransacking many villages, but pray for our pastors. This comes from a friend of ours who lives in Haiti and lives in Florida. They go back and forth. And then we do a weekend program, as many of you know, on Friday nights on the local Fox station in this area. And it's been a real blessing. This one says, thank you for the program, the pastor and the preacher's kid. The program of hope blessed my wife and me. And then this comes to us from Maryland. Looking forward to having you speak at our school's 50th anniversary. And then this one from New York. I appreciate the many who had been praying for us. It is prayer like that that sustains me through my recent surgery. So I appreciate all those notes and others that come in. Thank you so very much for them. We're talking today about the upcoming election. It's very important. You're an attorney. You are a pastor, Mac. What somebody comes to you and says, what do I do about the election? What can you do to help them? What's a pastor supposed to do? What can a pastor do? What should he do? And how does the church relate to that?
Well, that's a great question, and I am so blessed that I live in America. We are blessed beyond measure, and there's a framework set up around nonprofit law, and that framework is simply an indication that a 501c3 corporation cannot involve themselves in politics beyond a certain amount of their resources. And also a 501c3 cannot advocate for a political candidate. So if someone comes to me in my role as pastor, I talk to them about issues. If they want to know how I'm voting, they need to approach me as an individual. I didn't surrender my First Amendment right when I was ordained to the gospel ministry, but I don't make a recommendation in the role of pastor or spiritual leader except on issues. And, you know, that's how it works in the U.S., and I think that's a pretty good balance. Some would certainly take exception. The First Amendment gives them the right to have different thinking, thank God. But I think that's a good balance.
That's a great answer, really, Mick. That's as good an answer as I've heard on that topic. And pastors out there who are listening in, I would encourage you to encourage your congregation to have them vote. I'm not in the business, and I never do try to tell pastors what to do. I believe it's God speaks to them and their church. If they want my recommendation or suggestions, I can certainly give it. But I think for anybody and everybody, we should be really encouraging people to vote. It's a great honor in America to be able to do that. Now, Mac, one of the issues that has been a very interesting, somewhat controversial issue is separation of church and state. Why don't you address it for us from a legal standpoint, and then address that from the church's standpoint, if you could?
Sure. Legally, the phrase separation of church and state does not appear in the Constitution, first of all. Many people don't realize that. The phrase comes from a letter written by Thomas Jefferson. He was an ambassador, I know he was an ambassador in France, but I believe that's where he was when he wrote the letter. And he addressed it to the Continental Congress. But the fact is, it may have been after the Constitution was drafted and ratified, but Jefferson was not a friend of the person of Christ. He did not know God, probably. And that places him in France. The fact that he was not able to have as much direct influence on our Constitution, it's a positive thing. Now, the phrase separation of church and state has become applied to the First Amendment, which of course indicates that Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, among other things. So government is to be separated from the church. We don't have a state church in America. The colonies had state churches, but the persecution of those who came for religious liberty in America led them to adamantly demand a Bill of Rights, including the First Amendment. And so the separation of church and state is a separation of the state from the church, not the church from the state. We have every legal, moral, and ethical right and duty to be involved in politics. We should be. Where the text speaks to the issue, we need to address it with our people. Our church is a Southern Baptist church, and the Florida Baptist Convention sent out a wonderful newsletter out identifying the problems with Amendment 4. And there's no problem with them doing that. I was grateful for the material, and I read the whole letter to my church. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's what you said is excellent. I'm I was sitting here, and I was just jotting down, he ought to put this in a booklet.
There are plenty of people out there in the legal world that do that kind of thing. When God called me to law, Brother Padron, he called me into a avocation where I could influence people in a world that does not have a lot of Christian influence. There are a lot of great Christian law organizations out there that publish great material on some of the things I talk about, but I wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel. But I do know this. I love America, and I believe with all my heart that we have a place in the economy of God right now because of our blessings to Israel and because of our launching forth of the gospel, and I don't want to see that change.
Yeah, there are some wonderful groups out there, NCLL, Christian Law Association, and what's the group with the Southern Baptists? It slips my mind right now.
It's the Executive Commission on Legal Ethics.
I think so. Yeah,
I can't act like I know things that I don't know because my internet is down from the hurricane.
Oh yeah, yeah. But we have been involved with all of them at one time or another in our ministry through the years. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. So glad you're listening in. And this program, which is being aired right now, is also going to be aired for us on November the 2nd, and we have set that time aside, encouraging people to vote and to make sure they go and have their vote to make a big difference in our country. Many people say, well, there's so many voting, I don't know that I make a difference. You do make a difference, and it's a marvelous privilege and opportunity in America. The thing to me that is so great about America is that we have this freedom. And there are so many wonderful freedoms we do have for which we are very thankful. So, Homer, it's been good having you on here today. We have just a few moments left here, maybe a couple minutes left. Just give us one final word about the importance of voting, if you would.
Yes, sir. Just to return to the theme of Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Interesting story about that psalm. I was invited to preach as a young Bible college student in my home church for a watch night service. And I preached from that text, and I preached about the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. And the dear pastor who became a mentor of mine, Brother Gene Geiger, He pulled me aside the next day and he said, you know, Mac, before you're going to preach a passage, you might ought to want to look the words up. And that word foundations talks about civil order. And we must hold our position in the culture. We must stand in the gap. We must make up the hedge. And we have a great opportunity to do that on November 5th.
Yeah, that's good advice that your pastor gave you. Well, thank you. It's so great to have you on here, Mac. I know you've been very busy and you've had some trouble with your throat there. So glad to have you on. An excellent program today about voting and getting ourselves ready for this next election. And again, we're doing this program twice because of the importance of the content. So again, I want to say to you, Mac, thank you so much. To our dear friends who are on Gospel Radio East Africa, originating in Uganda and covering East Africa, God bless all of you. I trust this program has been a blessing to you as well. And we encourage you to pray for the United States of America. I know many of you there have a great interest in our country. And we often hear about questions you have about this nation of ours. And so we do pray that this has been a blessing to you today. And also to the many who listen in on Mission Go International Radio, which is aired on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 12:30, and 7:15. We're glad that you're listening in, and we do want to tell you how we enjoy hearing from you as well. Well, thank you for listening in. Don't forget, Monday through Friday is our Bible study. And join us as it's Life Change Today, Monday through Friday, then Life Change Weekend. And we have special programs on the weekend, like what we've just heard today. And to all Americans, vote, and God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.